I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 601. The best way to avoid talking about current events is to take a knee. Welcome to Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing. How are you doing?
I mean, I'm still getting over this being sick thing, but I'm breathing, so winning.
That's right. Heart's pumping, air is in your lungs.
It's coming out of my lungs. Other things are also coming out of my lungs, but hey, again, like I said, I'm alive.
You are alive. So I'm ahead of the game.
Okay? But, yeah. So, being sick sucks, but what are you gonna do?
I mean, be sick. It's better than being dead. Not be sick. Right. Like, there's two ways being sick can happen. You can be sick and then not be sick. Oh, there's three. So, be sick for a while, be sick and not be sick after a while, or be sick and die.
Right. So
of the options, it's not the most ideal one, at least you're not dead.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. Like, again, I'm ahead of the game, right?
You are ahead of the game.
So that's what it is. And hey, sick days, they're a thing. Praise him for sick days. Paid sick days. That's what's up. You know, it just means that my voice dropped a couple of octaves. It was funny at work. I told my work wife that my balls dropped. And that's what my voice deepened. Yeah, and she's like, you're a jerk. I'm like, I know. Except she didn't say jerk. She said another adult word. But anyway, enough about my balls. Let's talk about nerdy stuff, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Like, so many nerdy things I want to talk about. So many nerdy things going on right now. Like, the internet is just, like, losing its shit over Spider-Man.
I mean, I think the internet right now is it's definitely losing its shit over Spider-Man. I think we've seen a resurgence and this boom of memes over the Kaepernick Nike campaign.
So I wasn't going to bring up the Kaepernick thing, but since you did, thank you so much.
I kind of wanted us to talk about it because, one, I mean, I feel it's very topical to us in a personal standpoint and platform. But also, I just think for nerd culture, we've just seen this resurgence of this, like, very powerful meme being, like, spread throughout the nerdverse.
Look, and I just think we cannot talk about it. I think as long as we talk about it from the meme perspective first,
right,
then it fits this podcast.
I agree.
Because the memes have been hard.
Oh my God. And I've been in rare fucking form.
I gotta tell you, you know, the internet does not disappoint when it comes to sarcasm. It just doesn't. Like, the campaign itself, I have a lot of respect for what Nike's doing in the campaign. And, you know, I've said it before in conversations, and I think we've mentioned it a little bit here on the podcast and kind of passing, but I have a lot of respect for Colin Kaepernick just as a person, you know, with all the philanthropy stuff that he's been doing and the giving back to the community stuff that he's been doing and standing up for a cause that he believes in, which is just raising awareness of the inequality and injustice that people of color experience, like, in America. Okay, I have a lot of respect for that. Whether you agree with it, don't agree with it, that's on you. That's cool. That's not what we're here to talk about. But
right,
the campaign was such a simple visual campaign, like the static piece of just a black and white photo with a small, supposedly inspirational saying written across it. It was just a powerful image and also a very easy one for anybody to meme. Like, you don't have to have, like, crazy Photoshop skills in order to duplicate the look and feel, which is why I feel like so many memes based off of that ad have come out, because You could do it from your phone. You have a black and white filter on images on your phone. So then you can put text over. Just simple white text. That's easy to do, which is why I think we've seen such the huge explosion of memeage.
I mean, it's just everywhere. And just when you think it can't, like, the dark web, like, the dark crevices of the internet can't touch something, they just come out in the rarest form.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know if you had memes. So I didn't know if you had, like, a specialty one that, like, really kind of got you, whether it was, like, shock and awe or, like, oh, my God, yes. I had one.
There are a couple. Go ahead. You first.
So I have a friend who is an anime fan just like me and loves to randomly, like, when I get, like, kind of full of myself and, like, I'm feeling myself in a way and, like, I feel like I'm untouchable, he likes to throw me Full Metal Alchemist Tina memes.
Oh, Lord.
All the time. So, like, I'm like, hey, guys, totally, like, got recognized at my job. And then, like, 2 minutes later, I will get a text with a picture that will bring me back to the whole, you know, dad taking his daughter and her dog and fusing them together in that very traumatic scene in Full Metal Alchemist.
Yep.
So the morning of, like, the first announcement of the Kaepernick, the campaign and the picture and stuff, like, I was like, oh, no. And as soon as, like, I saw, like,
which
the memes,
the text for the campaign is believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
Right? So you already know where this is going.
Yep.
So I was just like, I know someone's already made it, so I need to beat him to the punch before he hits me with this, because it's coming. So I find one, because sure enough, there's a picture of our good old best dad. And it's a big
definitely
smiley,
not number one dad material.
But it's him with a big smiley face, and there is the there's the inspirational quote and the Nike swoosh, and I just send it to him. I'm like, I'm hitting you before you hit me. Here it is. And he's like, I actually have a better one, and it's actually the one with the chimera in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, the feels, it hurts,
right in
it
the
burns.
Feels. Yeah.
It hurts and it burns.
So I saw that one because our friend Adam posted it. So I had seen it like the day before you put it on your Facebook.
I put it on my friend's Facebook because I'm like, I'm hitting you now, right now, before you come for me. Because I knew
it was coming. What do you call it? So I'd seen that one, and I was like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, I knew somebody was going to do this
from my
circle. I'm like, you're still wrong for it, though. So I've seen that one. I would say probably the one that the one that sticks out in my mind is one from the movie Pootie Tang, just because there's not enough Pootie Tang references. I know. And so, like, every time I see it, I don't care who shares it. I engage with it because, like, it makes me giggle, like, deep down in my soul. But there's also a Black Dynamite one.
I have not seen that one yet.
All right, so I'll dig that one out. One of my friends shared it on their feed.
You will have to share that with me because, yes.
So more of the humor ones, like, really, really, like, stick out with me. I saw a couple King of the Hill ones that made me laugh. One with Boomhauer. One with Hank, I mean. There's one with, probably my favorite is from Clerks, with Jay and Silent Bob doing the motherfuck skit.
Right. Yes, so the opening song.
Uh-huh, yep. And so instead of having Nike next to the Nike swoosh, it just says noish, noish, noish.
Oh, yes.
I'm just like, yep. So more of the humor, like, really funny, as opposed to, like, shock and awe ones I tend to enjoy on the meme side. And I think that's just because I've been so sick that, like, I want the laughter and I want the funny. So the funny has been, like, sticking with me, because there have definitely been some shock and awe ones. Like, that one with the chimera was one.
Oh, my gosh. Like, the heart-wrenching ones are out there, and they will make you hurt.
Yeah, the Thanos one from Infinity War. That one sucked.
I'm so glad I have not seen that one.
Yeah.
There's one I need to send you after this show.
There's a 12 Years a Slave one, and I was like, you're wrong for that.
Yeah, no. And then there's one Hot Mess sent me. Do you remember, quick tangent, do you remember the YouTube video Unforgivable?
Of course.
So someone made a stream of this meme from Unforgivable, and Hot Mess sent it to me. So I was driving this morning, and he sends it, and it's literally like, give me some waffle fries, For free. And then Nike swoosh Unforgivable. And I was dying in the car.
Clapping it up for the internet, just keep being you. For all the internet taketh away, it also giveth. And we appreciate you.
And this has been Tangent Corner on the Eshcast.
Yes. Now we resume our regularly programmed show. Already in progress. So I've been looking at a lot of feedback with the new Spider-Man game that launched on the PlayStation this week. I made no bones about it before on this podcast. I'm not a huge Spider-Man fan.
We know.
For a couple of reasons, just personally, like, it wasn't a character that really resonated with me when I was reading comics. So it just wasn't a comic that I was into. Like, I respect where Spidey fits into the Marvel Universe and all that kind of stuff, but Spidey's just not, like, doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
Just like that. Like, he's okay. Peter Parker's an interesting character, I think. There are other people, you know, in the Spider-Verse that I think they're interesting. You know, I think that Miles Morales is interesting. Just Spidey doesn't, like, jingle my bells, right? But no hate. Let me just be very clear. I don't hate Spider-Man. I just don't love Spider-Man.
Okay.
Right?
You know what? And that's fine.
Right. Right. And so, like, I wasn't hyped about the Spider-Man game. Like, it looked good. Everything that we saw at E3 looked good. You know, Insomniac Games always does a great job with games, so I knew that the game was probably going to be a solid game for sure, but, like, it wasn't something that, like, I was pre-ordering or even had on my radar as something to pick up. But I was really looking forward to checking out, you know, some of my friends in the industry and just friends in general feedback on the game, because there are quite a few people that I knew that were picking it up. I had a couple of friends that were actually going to the Evil G at midnight to pick up, you know, physical copies. Most of the people I know
people
got it
digitally.
People
still do that?
Some people like that experience. You know, okay. There's still a lot of people that, you know, don't have reliable high-speed internet that for, like, that kind of download, they don't have to pay, like, any excessive fees. You know, because, like, Comcast in some places limits you to a specific amount of gigabytes of download per month, and if you go over that, you have to pay overage fees. So not everybody is ready to do the digital lifestyle, you know, for one reason or another. Whether it's their internet provider doesn't allow, you know, downloads that big concurrently, or, you know, frankly, they don't have the space to do a big install like that. Right?
Okay.
So there's still some reasons to get physical discs. Some people just like the experience of having a physical disc. You know, there are quite a lot of people that like to be able to show their collection by the sheer number of game boxes that they have. So, you know, I'm not hating on whether or not you're digital or not, because there's a lot of reasons for still getting things physically. And some people like the experience. You know, some people like being in line with people and who are all excited about the same title that they are getting it at the same time. It's kind of like, you know, having a bunch of people around you when you're in a car dealership buying your car and you get the send-off of, like, you're in your new car. You know, it's the same way. We got our new game. So, like, I understand that, too. There are some games that, like, I've done midnight experiences picking up physical copies, and it's because I wanted to be in line with a bunch of people who were there for the same reason that I was, because they're fans of the same game that I am, and we're all doing this kind of shared experience together. So I get that. And I had some friends that were still doing that. They already had the digital copy, but they wanted to do the release, you know, physical game pickup experience. And GameStop's still the only place you could do that. You can't really do that except with, like, really, really big titles at, like, a Walmart or a Target or things like that, right? So,
right.
I was paying a lot of attention to those people I knew that were picking up the games whose opinions I respect to see what their, you know, feedback was, both what they officially did on their websites and article reviews, and then also, like, pinging a couple of them directly, because I was on the fence about picking up the game, in all honesty. You know, initially I had not planned on picking up the Spider-Man game. Again, because Spidey isn't a character that I'm like, I love him so much, I gotta have it. But the visuals that I saw from some of the gameplay things after E3, it looked like it was going to be a kind of interesting game. And so I talked to a couple of my friends, and I read a couple of the reviews, again, of industry friends of the game. And, you know, the consensus that I've gotten is that it's a rock solid freaking game, whether you like Spider-Man or not. So the core mechanics of the Spider-Man game, if you've played any of the Batman Arkham games, then you're familiar with the battle style.
I've played a little. My husband's played a lot.
I gave you one.
I know.
Because I got accidentally shipped two copies of it, so I'm like, here, have a copy.
Yep.
I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Arkham Knights. Anyway.
Right.
The battle style is very much, and the gameplay, is a combination of, I would say, action platformer and brawler. And what I mean by that is, in both the Arkham series of games for Batman and in Spider-Man, you basically encounter groups of bad guys that, you know, don't attack one at a time. They attack in groups. And that's where the brawler comes in. And so you're literally just bashing your attack buttons to fight them out, knock them out. In order to turn them over to the police, you get experience for that that allows you to level up and add, you know, different combo abilities to your character, in this case being Spider-Man. And it makes a lot of sense for Spider-Man to be brawling like that. I always kind of felt like in the Arkham games, Batman wasn't a person who sought out fights. He sought out specific people to deal with them. You know, whether it was Joker or Harley or, you know, Scarecrow. He was always after the big bad guy, not necessarily just roughing up minions all over the place.
Right.
As far as, you know...
I'm sorry, but some of those takedowns, I'm like... No, he legit killed that dude.
Right.
That dude's not knocked out.
That's one of the things I think that I felt
like... He permadeath right now. He very did.
But I feel like that's one of the things that always kind of irked me a little bit about the Arkham games was that Batman just didn't do that. Like, he wasn't just patrolling the streets, just taking out random groups of thugs. Like, he was on patrol, and if somebody was doing something bad, like, he'd intervene in that instance. But more times than not, in the comics and in the animated series that I grew up watching, shout out to the WB for always being able to do, like, great animated series. Wish you guys could do great games, but whatever.
You know, so you it, can't
That
you
wasn't
can't be perfect.
Batman's shtick, right? Whereas that was Spider-Man's shtick. Like, he was your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So he was going around the neighborhood, you know, taking the random pickpocket and the running gangs of people and helping out his local neighborhood.
Right, because he's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Right, like, so it fits much better, this particular gameplay style and mechanic, and really plot setup fits so much better in Spider-Man than it did in the Batman games. And that's all I'm saying. So, you know, because I've watched some of my favorite streamers play the game, in addition to the stuff that I've read. And in all honesty, it really did change my opinion about the game quite a bit. Because, you know, I've tried a couple of other Spider-Man games and I wasn't really very impressed by them. But in this game, they seem to really have spent the time on Spider-Man as a character and Peter Parker as a character, developing them. So as an example, like, when you swing around town, it is all physics-based, so you actually attach your web to other physical structures. It's not just, like, generically above you in the air. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a building or there has to be a structure for you to sling your web on to sling around the city. And you can get very high up on a building and then dive bomb down to build up your momentum and then swing out and pendulum up really high. Like, the physics actually makes sense. And Spider-Man doesn't just jump in the air and come down. He's always doing some kind of acrobatic move, which he should. You take damage like you should as Peter Parker. Because, again, while he's in a suit, it's not like it's a souped-up suit like Batman's suit or Iron Man's suit. So when you take a punch, it deals some damage. So you really do want to be using your acrobatics as a non-hugely superpowered mutant hero. But you do want to acrobatically dodge and pull yourself up out of a situation and spread bad guys around so that you're not getting surrounded in a group, but you keep kind of washing the waves back so that you can take guys out one at a time. You know, the gameplay does make a lot of sense. And visually, it's just stunning. Like, I've watched this one YouTuber literally for 15 minutes just travel around the city. Just webbing around the building, like, not doing any missions, not doing any side missions or any of the critical path in the game, but just this Spider-Man, like, morphing, just moving around the city, and it was mesmerizing and pretty, and, like, the day cycle went through, and so he got to a top of a skyscraper and watched the sunset. I was like, yo, that's dope.
I mean, and I definitely think that that'd be something that a young Spider-Man would do. Like, yeah. I mean, I, very much like you, like, I like the new Spider-Man movie, Homecoming. I really dug that. I thought that was a really nice reboot to the Spider-Man debacle that was, not Garfield, but was, you know...
Tobey Maguire.
Yes, before. Granted, I didn't watch the Garfield ones either, because I think I was just so burnt out from
You didn't miss anything.
I've heard that, well, it was okay. It was not necessarily like, oh, yeah, I believe in this Spider-Man. But people really took Homecoming and were like, you know what? Okay. And then, obviously, the Spider-Man in Infinity War, I think, also kind of was like, oh, all right. Like, I dig this one. And, like, he's really a kid, and the stakes are really real. Yeah, because
they're the same. Tom Holland did a really good job. Tom Holland is a good Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And they wrote him as a good Peter Parker.
Yeah, I agree. He got some really great, I'd say, like, A-minus material. Like, very good, very strong, and he's already very capable. So, yay him. But I mean, like, I've never played a Spider-Man game. I mean, I think I used to watch Spider-Man the cartoon when we were young, but I was never like, oh my god, I have to catch Spider-Man. Like, it was always just something that if it happened to be going, I played Dimensions. But, like, I didn't really get into it. And I mean, I've seen some people showing, like, you know, the sprites of all the Spider-Man suits, and, like, people are, like, really kind of getting hyped for it. And they're like, and I'm glad, because I think, one, while I like Batman, and we've had some really good games that have been like, hey, this is what it feels like to be Batman. And I think it's been a while since we've really kind of addressed, like, what it really feels like to be another superhero. And I also really like that we got one who isn't, like, you know, superhuman. Like, I don't know if we could, I don't think this game would work to be Superman, because I think Superman just one has too many, you know, top gambit powers. And I think it would just be like, yeah, I'm God. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there are games that allow you to do that, but I think we would have a hard time trying to make the distinction between the humanity that Superman is, like, trying to, like, encapsulate in his life versus, you know, his superhuman personality and what that means in a open sandbox game. Like, I think it'd be way too easy. Because, I mean, he'd have all those powers to the jump, where, I mean, with Spider-Man, you know, he's young, and he's got to go to school, and he has to, you know, he's learning all these abilities as he gets them. And, like, there's a coming-of-age arc that you can get in that. And it's kind of the same with...
Yeah.
Kind of the same with Spider-Man.
Exactly. You know, kind of. I mean, you have the growth that has to happen, right? Peter Parker, newly discovered powers, has to figure out how to use them, so it makes sense in the game that you have to do a bunch of side things, small things, things around your neighborhood to learn new skills that make sense.
Right.
On the Batman side of the world with the game, what makes sense is, again, Bruce Wayne is not a super-powered human being.
Right. He is literally just a very rich dude with a lot of tech and time on his hands.
He has a lot of resources. So he's able to use those resources to create new technology, new weapons, new armor, his developing those new things makes sense. So therefore in the game there makes sense that there's a leveling up.
Right? Yeah. But with certain
Superman that wouldn't work. Do that, right? Like Superman. I mean,
unless you started with like small, you know, Clark Kent, like, you know, on the farm type deal, but I don't think anyone wants to invest
No one wants to invest
that type of chunk of personal time.
No one gives a shit about Clark Kent. Even Lois Lane didn't give a shit about Clark Kent for the longest time. The difficulty with doing a Superman game is, off the bat, Superman, just from being underneath our sun, has all of his powers.
Right. So, I mean, unless, like, he had a villain who manipulated the weather... Which I mean,
unless he had a villain that manipulated the solar system and got rid of our red sun for some reason.
Right.
Like, Superman has all those powers. What you could do is him discovering those new abilities, right? Because it's not like he has anybody else from Krypton to be like, hey,
by the way, you can do this, red sun, and you this, do this, and this, this, and this,
and this, and this, and this. So you could theoretically do growth that way for Superman. But I think it's a little bit more difficult for us as people who know Superman to just be like, oh, Superman had to figure this all out. Like, most of us who are fans of, you know, just superheroes in general, when we think of Superman, many of us think of grown Superman.
Right. So, like, he's already established. He already knows what he can do. He already knows he's not human. And he knows that there's, like, this strong, righteous...
So it's hard to dial it back to a Superman who didn't know those things, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, again, with, you know, Bruce Wayne Batman, it's very easy to be like, yeah, he's always developing new tech. He's got people working for him, so he doesn't know all the things that he has. He's always looking for, okay, for this guy, I need this thing, and I don't have that, so let me invent the solution. So you can kind of know that, yeah, Batman doesn't have, like, a set thing that he does because of who he
is. Have we had an Iron Man game? Because I totally feel like, you know, Stark sits
I think
parallel
there was,
to Batman.
I believe that there was an Iron Man game. I don't know if they were for current gen. I think it was, like, PS3 game.
Okay.
But I don't think that it did really well.
Well. Got
and,
it.
And again, it's just because, you know, Robert Downey Jr. made Iron Man. Let's be very real. If it wasn't for him playing Tony Stark, you wouldn't have had the 3 Iron Man movies.
Very true.
Frankly, I don't think that you would have had, you know, the Avengers movies and for them to get money behind them like they have behind them, in all honesty. I don't think that happens without Robert Downey Jr. You know, when the Iron Man movies were first announced, there were a lot of people like, why are we doing an Iron Man movie? Who the hell is Iron Man? And then the movies came out, and then everybody was like, Iron Man! Right?
Like, oh, we know who Iron Man is now.
Right. And even Iron Man's changed, right? Now he's Riri, I forget her last name. But, you know, Iron Man is now, you know...
Rihanna.
Right. Yeah.
She's now Rihanna.
And so I think that, you know, it's hard to do a Superman game. I don't think that it's as hard to do an Iron Man game. But frankly, those aren't the games that I want. Like, looking at people's feedback about the Spider-Man game, I'm probably going to pick it up now. And whereas before, it was definitely not even on my, like, maybe buy list. And now it's on a definite buy list. Like, when I complete running through the things that I'm going to do on Destiny, I'm going to pick up the Spider-Man game and play it. And I'm surprised by that because I really didn't think that I was going to play that game because that character doesn't resonate with me. You know, the game that I want next, if I get to pick like a superhero game, if it has to be a singular superhero game.
Wonder Woman.
I mean, Wonder Woman would probably be a good game. But that's not the game that I want because I've already played, frankly, Tomb Raider. So, in effect, I've played the Wonder Woman game.
True. Who is it then?
So, just bear with me here.
I am.
Okay, because people would be like, oh, you're only saying that for this reason. But personally, I want a Black Panther game.
Okay.
And the reason why I want a Black Panther game is twofold. One, I want a game that has, you know, a black lead.
Mm-hmm. Strong, confident black lead.
Yep. Okay. That, you know, also is set in an environment where there's just powerful, strong, intelligent black people because Wakanda is a base. Like, you gotta give it to me. Okay. I want Shuri as a playable character.
Okay.
Okay. As well as Okoye.
Okay.
And that could be a great adventure game.
I agree. I also think that there'd be a really great avenue there where, one, we could, like, see some history and culture that isn't necessarily our own perpetuated through that. So there could be some serious discussion and talking points from that.
And there's great lore that you can do, right? Like, you know, look at how many people really love to absorb the lore of games, right?
Oh, so now you can go into the whole structure of God of War. Like, okay, so he's the prince. He now has, like, go through all the trials, like, to become the Black Panther. And, yeah, he has to do, like, the combat thing. But then there are other things that, like, unlock other abilities that the Black Panther has that they don't really discuss openly in the movie, but may have embellished on in the con, like, oh my god.
Right. Like there's just so many things that you can do because you can take the game and basically, you know, do kind of, to your point, do kind of the base of the God of War game, right? The most recent one. And then add to that, you know, some of the Civ stuff. So you can have resource management, right? Because you have all these resources in Wakanda. Do you reach out to other communities around you and, you know, share that stuff? Like, at the end of the Black Panther movie, they've come out and said who they are. And they're like, we're about to show the world, like, everything that Wakanda has. So, you know, now you have, like, a whole resource management, like, side quest thing of, like, like in Civ, of like spreading this technology to these areas, and do you give it to this area or don't give it to this area because they could use it like for nefarious reasons. So like there's a strategy level to the game that you can have in there, as well as the adventure action thing, and then the lore underneath it.
I completely 100% would back this.
So that's the game that I want next, if we're going to keep doing superhero games. And I think that, you know, the success with the Spider-Man game shows that you can do successfully justice by a comic character and make them into a game. Because it's really hard, right? Like, we all have these images of what these characters are because there's the known universe that they're in because of these comic books, right? Like, we know what Peter Parker's motivations are. And we know how cute and slightly neurotic he is, but at the core of his being is just a pure, true-hearted, you know, lawful good, right?
Right.
Like, we know who Peter Parker is, so you have to bring that to the game if you're going to call the character Peter Parker. Just like, we know who Bruce Wayne is. We know what his motivations are. So if you don't bring that out in the game, then it's not Bruce Wayne, it's not Batman, and therefore I lose interest because it's not what I know and love, right?
Right.
So it's a lot easier to take, you know, characters that are not necessarily, like, mainstream loved and introduce them to people and set who they are. You know, only people who have read Black Panther comic books know who T'Challa is. So you can somewhat redefine them a little bit in gameplay and introduce them a little bit. But it's not like I know who Superman is, right? Because, like, if I talk to anybody about Superman and I say, who's your favorite Superman? When I say, who's your favorite Superman, I usually always hear Christopher Reeve. Unless you're young as hell. And then I hear Henry Cavill and I'm like, Sometimes I hear Dean Cain. Because if you watch
I like the one from Smallville.
Oh, Tom, Woodland?
I don't know what I just remember him the most because I did watch Smallville.
Yeah, his name is Tom something.
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah, I liked him. They gave him a nice storyline and fleshed it out fairly well for Smallville. I watched several seasons of that.
Yeah, Smallville up until like season 5 or 6.
Yeah, like all of a sudden I was like, no. After Lana it kind of became and like, Lois showed up, I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard to not jump the shark.
Yeah.
I do feel like Smallville did get to a point where it finally jumped the shark. But
I agree. Isn't that guy, isn't the current, the Man of Steel Batman, Superman, isn't he, I heard he was going to be the guy from The Witcher in a live-action movie now?
So Henry Cavill. Yeah, so Netflix is doing a Witcher series.
And I heard they're...
And Henry Cavill has been cast as Geralt.
Actually, I mean, I think he has a really good face bone structure for that, so I actually can see him.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I actually need him to be done being Superman, because he's not a really good Superman.
I mean, he was fairly good in the Mission Impossible Fallout movie. I mean, granted,
again, because he was not being Superman.
Eyeshadow, so...
He was a big Superman.
Right.
Henry Cavill is great when he's not being Superman.
I actually kind of like it when they give him a character who is not necessarily, like, kind of, like, allegory Jesus or, like, allegory God or, like, I like when they give him dimension
or
allow
God.
Him to let him be kind of dark and have an ominous intention. Because, I mean, and I'm not a big fan of Mission Impossible movies, and I really only went because my husband literally begged me and promised me lobster. So that's why I went.
I mean, that's a reason to go if you're going to get lobster.
I mean, if I'm going to get, like, a 3 Michelin star meal.
Yeah,
I can watch.
I'm with you. I'm right. Like, if that's the carrot you want to dangle, be like, if you go see this Michelin Impossible movie, you will get a 3 star Michelin
meal. It's like, you know what? I will go.
I'll go.
Is it a room marathon back to back? Room in the Disaster Artist? I'm down. But regardless, like, I think he did a great job in that role. And I think, one, because the character just had more dimension than I am good and I will do good. And I don't understand why people don't understand that I'm just here to do good. I will not turn my back on you. To literally being like, hey, I'm a good guy, I guess. By the way, I'm also an agent. Fuck your mom. Like, right. Like, it's kind of like, oh, I like that they gave you more than like 8 lines and 8 different sighs in this movie.
Right. Like, I think that Henry Cavill is a very good actor. I don't like his Supermans. I still think that Brandon Routh was robbed. Because I've experienced a lot of TV and film Supermen. Okay. My forever Superman is going to be Christopher Reeve, because those are the movies that I grew up seeing, and that was the Superman that I grew up seeing as a child. And I think that for a lot of people, the Superman that you saw as a child is kind of like the Superman that you have in your head. Like, even when I read Superman comics, or, like, when I watch, like, Batman and Superman to Superman in the animated Warner movies...
Mm-hmm. You see him?
I still see Christopher Reeve, though.
Okay.
Doesn't matter who the voice actor is, I still see Christopher Reeve, because that's my forever Superman. Right?
Yeah.
Even that being said, I watched Dean Cain's series when it was on ABC with him and Terry Hatcher.
Yeah.
Like, and I enjoyed that, and I thought that Dean Cain did a great job as Superman in those instances. Like, I loved that series. Okay, and I think that he did a great job. I think, you know, for Brandon Routh, I think part of the reason why I gravitate to him so much is because he looks so much like a young Christopher Reeve. That he's kind of like my reborn Christopher Reeve Superman. I just feel bad that he was Superman in a poorly written Superman movie. So he only got one. I do feel like it was an injustice and he should have gotten a second one. I do like, you know, the stuff that he's been doing in Legends on the CW. I just think that, like, he deserves another shot at being Superman. It's not going to happen, but I think that he deserves another shot at being a Superman, and I think it would be great if, like, there was a Superman TV series and that he could be Superman in that. I think that there are a lot of great people have been tapped to play Superman in my lifetime, mm-hmm. which is cool. I would like to see somebody else step up, though, in the film versions and be Superman, because I'm just not impressed with Henry Cavill's Superman at all.
I think you're completely entitled to feel how you feel about that. I personally hope we never see a Flash movie. Only because, one, I think...
A Flash movie's already, like, they're working on it with the kid that's playing Flash right now.
No, wait, from the CW? No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Suck it. Ugh. Suck it, Trebek.
No.
Yes.
Okay, because this hurts me.
Yeah,
This hurts me in a way, because one...
It should be the CW Flash, and it's not.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad that you said that. I'm glad you said that. I mean, I was just really conflicted, because obviously...
Our video game and anime podcast has turned into a film and superhero podcast.
I just wanted to mention that. Like, it hurts my soul, because one, in the Batman v Superman movie, which, yes, I unfortunately admit that I did watch that.
I didn't watch it. And I fell asleep.
Flaming garbage.
I fell asleep trying to watch Justice League.
I mean, I think for me personally, and I mean, I'm going to spoil it because, one, don't watch it if you can avoid watching it. But I mean, like, I sometimes have pure dumb moments. And I used to say dumb blonde, but not all blondes are dumb, so, like, I don't want to do that. But, like, I have, like, I've had dumb moments while watching movies or shows.
Yes.
And I distinctly remember being, like, halfway through Batman v Superman, and I was like, Martha, Martha, Martha. And then I was like, hubby. I'm like, both of their mom's names are Martha. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I think we're going to have a bonding moment. Because they both have mommy issues, and they both have moms named Martha, and we're going to have a stepbrother situation where they're going to want to put their bunk beds together so that they have more room in their room for activities.
Fucking Catalina wine mixer.
Catalina wine mixer. And sure enough, like, as soon as it started to set up that way, I'm like, aw, shit. They're going to have this, and, like, they have that moment. By the way, in that fight that they have in the back alley, and, like, Superman's all hovering and shit, and, like, Batman's, like, waiting for him to touch down, I'm like, you know, why did you set up all your traps for the ground? You know the bitch can fly. Why? Like, why not have some aerial things to, like, force him down?
Like, Bruce Wayne, you're supposed to be so smart.
Like, you have, like, 8 different drones. Like, send some drones at him just to, like, you could completely, like, kite him to the ground, but you chose not to, so you're sitting there like, hey, you want to come down here and fight? And, like, no, I'm Superman. I don't have to fucking do that. You come to me, bro. Like,
bitch, you see this cape? This is a flying cape. This is not a walking cape.
It hurt me. But I was just mad because going back to Batman v Superman, you know, like, we kind of got, like, the older Flash that, like, went through time to, like, put weird visions in Batman's head, Ben Affleck, Batman. And then they don't even have that Flash for Justice League. And I'm like, there's no way that the young Flash from Justice League is going to turn into that Flash. And that's a totally different Flash. Which I'm like, okay, yeah, I kind of get that there were multiple Flashes. So, like, whatever. But, like, it hurts me. It hurts me. Especially because, like, the Flash that they have on the CW, like, I believe that Flash over these two Flashes from the
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, he's the, I can't remember what his name is, but the kid that they cast.
He was on Glee. Actually, so was Supergirl, but you know.
Yeah, wasn't he a warbler?
He was an evil warbler on top of that.
That's what I thought. Yeah, but, like, they cast the CW Flash really well. I'm still, like, the jury's kind of out on the Flash that they cast for the universe. Like,
yeah.
I like him as an actor, and I love his energy, and I think that he's one of the most positive, inclusive things that Comic-Con has ever had. Like, he dressed up as Sexy Toadette for his panels at Comic-Con this year. So, like, I love his vibe and things like that.
But,
like, I don't know. Again, I fell asleep twice during the Justice League movie, and that's the movie he had, like, the most lines.
Granted,
so,
you know, the CW has not always had bangers. It's taken them a while.
Birds of Prey wasn't great.
And then going kind of back to the Flash, like, I understand that there are more than, like, one speedster, but how they all conveniently turned out to be on the same team really kind of bothers me. I know it kind of happens in some
it
of
does.
The comics.
Yes.
Like, I get it, but I'm just like, I feel like you could have.
There are evil but you do know that there
seasons.
Are evil speedsters, right?
Right.
And
well,
they did.
Well, here's the thing. Like, so far now, like, we've seen so many more of just, like, the good ones showing up, and I'm like, so wait, you're a speedster. You could go.
So
really
you
fast.
Haven't watched the last three seasons then of Flash?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
Because so slight spoiler alert. Everything that you're complaining about
gets
all
resolved. Okay, great. Because, like, as I was watching, I'm like, so we're just gonna keep finding speedsters, like, down the street from our house? Like, is this, we're just gonna keep tripping over speedsters? Oh, and, like, you're fast, but I'm a little faster than you. Like, we don't even have anybody who goes backwards yet, or at least from what I've seen. I'm like, where's that?
No, trust me, dog. It's all fixed.
Like, good. I'm glad, because for a while there, I'm like, if we're just gonna keep, if everyone's just gonna, like, is it gonna be the end of Buffy, where, like, all the women become slayers and it all becomes moot? Oh, spoilers if you've never seen the ending of Buffy. One, you were way late to that party, but, like, go enjoy that. I like the musical episode. Anyway, I was just like, I don't know if I could keep watching this if we're going to just keep having people show up who have this ability. Oh, by the way, now you get a neon-colored suit, and, like, none of you guys are traditional colors besides the original Flash, original Speedster. Like, I just, it hurt me just a little bit, but I'm like, I know this happens in the comics, I know this happens in canon, I can deal with it, I'll process it, but...
Trust me, you can.
Okay. And then, by the way, if people were not aware, they're actually thinking about rebooting Buffy. And I'm actually, like, high-key excited for it.
Okay, so anyway, we're gonna move on from this now, because...
Yep,
this is
we're done! This was another episode of Tangent Town in Asheville.
Yes, you know, and we're gonna resume our originally...
Programmed broadcast, now in progress, again.
Again. But it's it is important though, because it is part of, you know, the fandom, and it bleeds over. And
I get it.
You know, the experiences that you have in the movies and in the comics, you know, they either taint or flavor what your experience is going to be in the game. And
I mean,
it's
I'll
just really great.
Taint.
It's really great for me to see that a lot of my friends who are fans of Spider-Man and Peter Parker and just the world in general are really saying a lot of good things about the game as far as, you know, how it plays, what it looks like. And one thing that I keep hearing over and over again is that this is probably the first Spider-Man game that many people have played where they get Spider-Man right. And that's the most important thing. You know, it doesn't matter what medium you're coming from when you're going to a video game medium, the character should feel right.
Right.
They should feel like they're in the right environment. They should play like the character in your mind from reading the comics, or the character from seeing them, you know, in movies, how they move and act and feel. Like, that same thing should come across in the video game. Otherwise, they're not connected, and you're not going to make the association that this is my superhero, right? Right. And I just keep seeing and hearing over and over again that they finally got Spider-Man right. From the way that he moves around, from the way that he interacts with the city, the way that he interacts with the people, the story that's happening, that's going on. You know, a lot of people are really glad to see that, you know, it's Doc Ock and not Green Goblin that you're having to deal with, because, you know, Green Goblin's kind of been overdone. You know, it's pretty much all the time whenever something new Spider-Man happened, it always involved the Goblin or Hobgoblin. And, you know, the Osborns are interesting, but, like, there are other baddies and other characters in the Spider-Man universe that, you know, you get to explore. You know, Doctor Doom is kind of an interesting character. So I think that they've done a really good job by picking, you know, other baddies that you're focused on and not just the Goblin, so that people can have a different experience than the stuff that they know and fall back in love with Spider-Man. And that's kind of like at the end of the day where it feels to me like just looking at, again, people playing the game and my friends whose opinions I love and trust because they're as nerdy and as vehemently passionate about their fandoms as I am mine, keep saying that it feels right. It means that they got the mix right. So I'm curious enough about it because of those experiences and that feedback that I'm going to pick the game up. So whether you're a fan of Spider-Man or not, you should probably check out the game. I think that it'll be interesting experience, if nothing else. And by check out, what I mean is watch some people playing the game on YouTube. You know, when you don't have the ability to have like a demo of a game to do a try before you buy, I use YouTube people playing the game as my try before I buy. Like, I go to my top five streamers that I love to see if they're playing the game. And if they are, I watch and I see what their reactions are and what their experience are. And, you know, do they have any trouble with certain areas, or are they already complaining about mechanics or the camera, or are they already getting bored, you know? And those are kind of like my indicators of, hey, maybe I should take a look at this game. If those things aren't happening and they're having a great experience, I look at those top five because I tend to fall, as far as like my likes and preferences, very similar to them. So, you know, if they're having a good time with the game, I'm probably going to have a good time with the game if I pick it up. So, again, between my friends and my go-to five, three of which are playing the game, they all said the same thing, and we're all having a great time, and they were all at different places in the game because it is an open sandbox. So you don't have to just do the critical path stuff, and I kind of like that. Like I said, one guy I watched just, like, went around the town for 15 minutes just traversing the town. Okay, didn't engage with any of the activities in that one video that I watched. Another guy that I watched was specifically doing just critical path stuff. And it was interesting to see, you know, how the story actually was coming together and all the different ways that you could modify the suit. And you modify the suit to meet your gameplay style, you know. So I thought that was really interesting as far as the mechanic.
That is really cool because it allows you to play the Spider-Man that you want to play.
Exactly. So you develop Peter in the way that you want to develop Peter. And I like that a lot, you know.
That's neat.
It really is. So, like, I like that a lot. So, I'm going to pick it up.
Okay.
But I'm going to let you talk now.
Let me get my little nugget in.
I'm going to let you get your nugget in.
So, I mean, my nugget's a fairly, like, decent nugget. Like, yeah. It's good. So, we all know that I love me traditional turn-based and also not traditional turn-based RPGs.
Yep.
But before the game I'm talking about today, I played Octopath Traveler. I'm actually on the actual last hidden boss, which that fight is a bitch. Such a bitch. Like, you're supposed to be able to, like, you should be able to go into it by, like, level 60. All my characters are level 75 and I still get pwned. So, like,
I mean, how do you really feel about it?
Well, like, it's a boss rush of all the several big major bosses that you fought in the game, but they're all shadow versions, obviously. And then you fight, like, the big bad. And he just swipes me out in the first few passes, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going back into it at level 99. But I have not gone back to Octopath Traveler to finish that yet. And I was like, I was going to take a break.
You also haven't started God of War.
Nope, but I opened it, so it no longer has its plastic on it. But anyway, so there's that. And I was like, you know, I'm going to take a break from RPGs for a while so I can play something else, you know, jump into a kiddie pool somewhere else for a little bit and then go back. Well, on September 4th, I think, specifically, a game came out here in America, which has been out in Japan for a while.
Okay.
And it's a game that Japan loves. It is the childhood sweetheart of games for Japan. And I'm talking about Dragon Quest, particularly the franchise.
Okay.
And finally, Dragon Quest XI came to America a couple of weeks ago. And everyone was kind of talking about it, and I'm like, no, I'm taking a break. I'm not going to play it. I still have Octopath to finish. And, like, the last big RPG that I played before Octopath was Ni No Kuni, which we know, Ni No Kuni 2, to correct myself, and we know how I felt by the end of that Platinum Trophy adventure. So, apparently I'm a glutton for punishment, which actually I think if we go through a catalog of these shows, I will go through the same levels of torture. I'll be all about it. Hype's
yeah,
really
did
high.
You play the Demon Souls? Did you
I
play
Demon, the Demon Souls, the Dark Souls, the Bloodborns? I have a certain type. Yep. So it's either really, really dark and brooding and hard, or it's light, colorful, and also very hard. I have a thing about hard games.
What you're trying to say is you like it hard. Got it.
I like it hard. I like a challenge. And I also like interesting battle systems, also, it seems.
I want to thank you for that soundbite, by the way.
That I like hard battle systems?
No, the first thing you said.
I like things hard?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. You got it again. Anyway, so there was a lot of hype for it. And I was like, I'm going to wait. And my husband was like, I think I'm going to get it. And I was like, okay, good. If you get it, like, I'd be able to play. And he goes, no, you don't get to play this because then I'll come home to you playing it. And then I'll never get to play it. And you'll always be on the TV because it's on the PS4. So it's not like I could, like, take the Switch and move to a different room. And he's like, and maybe I want to play it. And I was like, okay, fine. Then I won't play it. But are you going to get it? And he's like, I can't decide between this and Spider-Man. And I was like, let's put this up to chance, okay? Let's flip a coin. And if it's heads, it will be Dragon Quest. And if it's tails, it will be Spider-Man. And as he was doing that, I was already buying Dragon Quest. So we already know where my head was at. And sure enough, it ended up being heads anyway, so that's fine. And we started downloading it. And I'm like, you can play. I'm like, I will let you take lead and you can play. Because one, I work a lesser shift than him, so I could totally play when he's not home. So that's fine. But let me talk a little bit about Dragon Quest XI, because we have played some of it together already. So, like, we're already in the first throngs of it. Now, this is a very intensive, very heavy, depending on how you play it, RPG. Most people who have played this, and I'm talking specifically the Japan demographic, because they've had this since July of 2017, so most of them are already past this trend, and it just hit us now in America, so now we're all jumping on this bandwagon. But the average time spent in Dragon Quest XI is 109 hours.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff going on. So let me talk about the base overview of the game, the world, the universe, as it is in Dragon Quest XI. And then what my feelings are as a brand noob, like a noob. This is my first Dragon Quest game ever. So come at me, bros, if you want to. That's fine. I'm ready. My body is ready for the hate and vitriol that will happen for it. But it's fine. And if you've heard Dragon Quest before, it's probably because you recognize its animation style, because our dear friend Akira Toriyama, who does the animation for Dragon Ball, does the animation for Dragon Quest. I think he has a thing for dragons. I don't know. But anyway, so in the story of Dragon Quest, literally what happens is your main protagonist, blank, because you can name him whatever you want, Fuckbag McGee, is born. And he ends up being the reincarnation of this famous hero, the Hero of Light, or the Luminary, however you want to call him. And it is prophesied that the Luminary will battle against the Dark One and save humanity. So, like, that's, like, the prophecy. That's what everyone in this universe knows to be true. And through the course of all the other Dragon Quest games, you play as the reincarnation. You find out that you were once the super bomb-ass hero, and it now that you're back in the world, it is clear that the darkness is also back, and it is up to you to find some people who will love and support you, and you have to go take on this big bad. And there's been a lot of switches between mechanics and stuff between all of the Dragon Quest games. At one point, there were job classes, then they took those away. You have these really interesting characters, and sometimes they were as blank as your protagonist was. Like, it's had some serious tonal shifts over the course of its franchise, but people love this game. There's a lot going on in this game. So, case in point, Dragon Quest XI, you start off as a dude. I haven't started playing my game yet, so I don't know what my dude's name's going to be. It probably will be something like Malcolm, maybe.
Okay.
And you are a Trunks-looking motherfucker. You're very cute. Except your hair's not, like, purpley lavender. It's, like, brown. But you literally look like Trunks. And you are 16, and you are a resident of a town called Cobblestone. Weird fact, Octopath Traveler also has a town named Cobblestone, but they are not the same. But anyway, in this town of Cobblestone, when you become an adult, which apparently is at the age of 16, you are sent to go to this place in Cobblestone called the Tor, which is like this big rock mountain. And you have to go there and say like the city's prayer, and then you're a man now. And you actually end up going with your childhood friend, Gemma. Which is funny because you're a silent protagonist, so you never speak, but everybody else is far more animated than you, which makes it really weird because everyone's like, yeah, remember that story you told me last week? And then it goes to your character and it's dots. And I'm like, like, I laugh at all those moments because I'm like, he hasn't said anything, and he won't. Clearly,
okay.
He's a silent protagonist. But anyway, so Gemma and you were both born in the same, I think it's actually like the same day. And you go on your 16th birthday, so that's why they're able to travel together. So they're traveling up this mountain, and of course, like, she's a wuss, and she doesn't really fight, and she cries all the time because there are slimes, you know, those really cute blue slimes that everyone, like, has had a plushie of or has seen in their lives. You're fighting these slimes to get up to this mountain to say this frippling prayer that you don't actually say because you're silent. And yep. Upon coming back down, you find out that you are this reincarnation of this great hero. And now you have to leave your small town to go be this greatness that has been told that you will now be. Also, he has a weird mark on his hand that looks kind of like the Master Sword logo, sort of, from Zelda. Okay. So there's a lot of references. I'm like, that looks kind of familiar. Oh, we have a silent protagonist, and we have a blonde girl who cries all the time. And I'm like, I see how this could be very much like proto-Zelda in a lot of ways. And that's where the story kind of starts. And you get little bits beforehand, some backstory, where you find these old dudes in this tower, and they're all like, yeah, the hero's gonna show up soon. We have confirmation that it's this kid. Oh, by the way, your protagonist descends from a royal family. So, like, this council, we're all like, yeah, he came from this family. He just got born. He got the symbol. Like, what are we going to do about this? Because now that he's here, like, most likely the Dark One's also here. And they're all like, we're going to take this baby out. So, like, the queen, who looks really, really nice, was like, I think something's up. I need to get this baby out of here. And you see her running with this little girl, who you don't see much about because she's wearing a cloak, but you can clearly tell she's a girl by her eyes and, like, the bang in the front of her face. And she's okay. Holding this basket with your protagonist in it. And, like, you see them running from these headless knights. So someone's dabbling in some dark magic, I guess. I don't know. But they're running from the castle to save you, the baby. And apparently, like, they get murdered off-screen, and the basket with you in it goes down, like, down a river. Which by the next morning, this old man who just happens to be fishing in this pond sees this basket with you in it and, like, decides to raise you.
So, like, the Noah special, got it?
Right, like, oh, man, like, where did this baby come from? Oh, there's a note, how sad. Oh, I will raise you, baby who has no one. You know, and then, like, it fast-forwards to you being 16. So, like, they give you these little nuggets that you can start putting together. The combat system, I find fairly interesting because it is a freeform options. So very much like Chapter 10 from Final Fantasy X, where they opened up the Comlands to you, which I think you've heard me talk about several hundred episodes ago, where, like, a game that was traditionally linear all of a sudden opened up in this one area, and you're like, why the fuck hasn't this been the thing for all of time? This system is very much open camera, so, like, you can roam around, and there are no random encounters in this game, and you could see all of the enemies on the overworld. So, like, you could actively choose to not engage with, you know, the baddies, unless, you know, you want to level up and stuff like that. And, very similar to kind of what Breath of the Wild was doing, where, like, you interacted with everything in your own time. Now, granted, there are things on the battlefield that are clearly more powerful than you, and you can choose to, you know, jump into a riskier situation for the higher reward or not. It's really completely up to you. From what I've seen from reviews back and forth, a lot of people find that this battle system makes things fairly easy, and at one point it kind of flips the script, and then a whole lot of grinding has had to happen. And I feel like for people who have that mindset, particularly one, don't appreciate all the nuance that this setup really gives you as a player. Like, it gives you so many options. And I mean, I like to grind. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, because that's a soundbite for you right there.
Appreciate it.
I don't have a problem with having to do multiple battles over and over again to beef myself up, because clearly the games that I play strongly advocate for higher levels, for the big, big bosses that you will feel big, strong, you know, vibes of accomplishment from defeating. And I think people go into some of these games and assume that, one, they're going to give you all the baddies that you need to be able to fight the boss at the end of the realm. And in some people's cases, they like the challenge of being underleveled and taking out a bad guy. And I think that this system really kind of adheres to that, because you could sit there and grind and kill a billion slimes in the forest so that you're like level 20 when you're going after like a level 10 boss. But I think there's a stronger sense of accomplishment when you are slightly under level and you just have to think a little bit more in order to achieve your success. And I think this game gives you the option to do it either way. So it's really up to your play style and just how much time you want to develop in the world. So I can see a big chunk of my life now being devoted to this, because I spent about 125 hours in Octopath Traveler and I'm still not done. But I totally see myself, you know, one, because this is on the PS4, so there'd be trophies here, y'all. Unlike in the Switch land where they don't have trophies. So I have a stronger goal in mind to get all the trophies from this. I strongly see myself putting myself through a lot of heated nights, but I also look forward to spending time with, because you get 7 characters in this game, and they're all very strongly unique and have different personality sets, which counteracts the fact that your protagonist is silent and, you know, has no personality except for the personality that you yourself give them, maybe. But I'm looking forward to living in this world for a while. So if you were a big fan of Octopath Traveler or Ni No Kuni 1 or 2 or even Final Fantasy, like any of them, really, and even if you've played Dragon Quest before and haven't played a Dragon Quest in a long time, it is strongly recommended that this is a great Dragon Quest to jump back into, because it's very new with some, you know, old school nostalgia for those who have played the previous ones. So I'm looking forward to that. So you could do that. It's fun, and it does look like Dragon Ball Z, and I kind of looking at characters and going, yep, you look like Vegeta. You look like Nappa. You look like Goku. Hey, Trunks, what's up?
Hey, Trunks.
Hey. So there's that. So it's fun, and like I said, I just kind of started. We're probably not even 4 hours in at this point, so, like, we have just formed the droplet, and it hasn't fallen from the leaf yet, so to speak. But I'm really looking forward to it, and it's really beautiful, and I can't wait to talk about it a little bit more.
So let me ask you this, just from, you know, the initial getting into the game, right? Because you said you flipped a coin.
Yeah.
Of picking up and playing it. As a person who's played a lot of RPGs, a lot of JRPGs, turn-based stuff, all those kinds of things, would you say that this is a game that, you know, people who enjoy that just genre period should play, especially if they haven't done it before? Or is, like, this a good title? Like, if you haven't played a JRPG or turn-based game before, a good one to start with, and if so, why?
So, I would personally say, like, I mean, I think that this game kind of opens it up for the newbiest of the noobs to be like, you know what, this looks really pretty, it looks like there's a lot going on in it, and I mean, this game does not, you know, does not set you up like, hey, you're a hero, you have to go fight the big bad, and you just have to go, and here's your story. Like, there's a lot of other things happening in the world that you could be engaging with, and you could just see all the love and passion in that. So, I would personally say that anybody who is just narrative-driven and isn't really even about, you know, the mechanics of the game will find themselves drawn to what this world is wants to show them at face value and then all the deep things. So I think it will call to a lot of different game player types and kind of coax them in and may challenge them to jump into a totally different, you know, genre of game that they stayed away from or weren't really about and will find something about it that they then like. Now, for those who, like me, love RPGs, generally, I think, one, they'll be able to pick it up right away, and we'll be able to jump head first, right off the bat, with, like, a little bit of, like, a growing stint. But I definitely think that this opens up the floodgates for those who are not RPG inclined. And even though this does have turn-based in it in the way that you don't like turn-based, Ninja, it does still have that overworld view where, like, you can actively avoid a slime by, like, just don't walk up to it. So it does give you, you know,
so you don't have to get stuck in the random encounter hell that I hate.
Right. There is no random encounters in this game. So, like, if you are walking down a bridge and you see a slime and it's on the right, you just walk to the left and you don't encounter that slime. So, like, it gives you the false pretense of, you know, an action RPG, like, you know, with Kingdom Hearts 3, which is coming out next year.
January. Oh, and best believe we will be talking about it.
Like, it gives you the false security of, oh, this is an action RPG, so I can just run around and smack. But then if you encounter the fight, you realize that it's actually very much, like, the traditional turn-based gambit. And that's fine.
But with that said, we're at time for the podcast. But if you enjoyed this podcast, full of its randomness, tangents, and all other goodness, please make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. You can find us in iTunes, either on the desktop or on your mobile device, your iOS device, using the podcast application. Just search for the Eshcast Electric Sisterhood and subscribe. You can listen to our podcast directly on our website. Each single episode is posted there, so you can check them out at will. You can also find our podcast in a multitude of other places, including VogNetwork.com, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, pretty much any place that aggregates podcasts, you can find our show. So please make sure that you subscribe, hit us up on our social, let us know if you enjoyed an episode or if you have any questions, or if there's something you want to recommend for us to check out and review. You can find us on Instagram at ESH News, on Twitter at ESH News, and on Facebook, facebook.com/Land of Esh. Bookmark our website, electricsisterhood.com, and check it out every week for new articles, reviews, previews, and more that the entire content team at Esh is creating and releasing things. You can also check out all of the other great stuff that our content creators are doing on their own sites and on their own feeds, which includes our homie KBD, King Baby Duck, over at B3Crew.com and his bi-weekly podcast, No Borders, No Race. You can check out our homie Hamsterman2049 on his website, SmashRook.com, and live streaming games every Wednesday night on Twitch. You can hit up our Facebook page or his website to get the link. He streams at 9 Eastern every week, new games and old. One of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's Recap and Review, doing some really great stuff on YouTube. So please make sure to check out his channel. subscribe, be part of chat, live, call in when he does his recaps. Check out his archive on his site, issuesprogram.com, as well as some of the other great live stream stuff that he's doing. And then last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, whether it's comic books, anime, manga, or more. If it's nerdy and people are talking about it, then the nerds over at NerdCrave are talking about it. So with that all said, I've concluded the business. It's time for us to be out of here. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, folks.
Titties.